D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are, of course, proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, we are live at Ascent Buildings at 214 Fountainhead Road in Portland. They are interviewing and hiring on the spot today until 3 p.m., welders, fitters, machine operators, material handlers. If you're looking for work, this is the place to find it. Again, 214 Fountainhead Road in Portland.
They've got a food truck here as well. They got a lot of nice people, so come on by. You can meet D-Mace.
Yeah.
So people have come specifically to meet D-Mace today.
That is the power. That is the power that Derek Mason wields. But joining us, as always, on Wednesday, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, I would love to ask you about NFL draft coverage, because the one thing that we have noticed over the past several days, and we saw it live during the first round of the NFL draft, it was like the Tennessee Titans select Cam Ward. Okay, that's great. Let's talk Shedeur Sanders for the next 10 minutes. It really does feel like Cam Ward has been the most undercovered, least covered, number one overall draft pick in quite some time. What have you just made of how the selection of Cam Ward has been covered nationally?
I can't describe it. It's a great question. It's a deep dive study. It's a thesis to me. I mean, Eric Fisher, is that the offensive lineman's name from like 15 years ago?
He was covered. He went to Kansas City.
Yep. He was the number one pick. He was covered more. And I think why I'm saying it's crazy. It's a quarterback. Cam Ward is a Heisman Trophy finalist. You have a story that is made for TV. He starts at Incarnate Word after running a wing T offense. Incarnate Word to Washington State is graded out, is told he's a third or fourth round pick last year, 12 months ago. Now he's the number one overall pick. It's not about the Titans in the market. The Jaguars have had the number one pick several times, and the number one pick has been covered thoroughly. I don't look at it as a slap in the face to the fan base. I do it for Cam Ward. I mean, the Shedeur thing, it is a massive story. I understand why the networks covered it. For all the conspiracy theorists out there, ESPN loves Shedeur. So does the NFL loves the ratings. They can't stop talking about the ratings, but they couldn't stop talking about Shedeur Sanders instead of Cam. It was a foregone conclusion who the pick was going to be. And as the story progressed with Shedeur, it became more definitive about Cam Ward. If you think about the exact opposite of whatever's coming out on Sanders, Cam Ward has crushed it on the decisions that he's made. He went back to NIL in Miami, becomes a Heisman finalist, sets records for the NCAA. Then he goes to the draft process and has handled that perfectly, beautifully, with how he's approached the interviews, the questions about being on the board. I mean, that's clear. The Titans met him in February for the first time, and they are dead set and convinced, we've all heard from them, that he's the face of the franchise and the face that's going to usher them into this new stadium, which they care deeply about. So I say all that to me, I don't get it. I mean, they mentioned his name. But given the position, I mean, it's not like an offensive lineman here. And then Travis Hunter is right on. I mean, you talk about Deion and primetime and the whole brand. Travis Hunter is right there, number two, and the Jags trade for him, and we're still discussing Shedeur to the Giants. I understand why you're mentioning the quarterback, but they bypassed another quarterback who went number one overall.
I want to stay on this topic because I saw a tweet thread from Kevin Van Valkenburg, who used to work for ESPN. He now has a website, I believe, called No Laying Up. I believe it's a golf website. But it was a fascinating tweet because I find the Shedeur Sanders story to be much more fascinating as a media story than just a football story. And this is what Van Valkenburg tweeted. Quote, football aside, the Shedeur Sanders thing is a fascinating media story. I guess that's where I came up with that just now. Sanders willed himself into the role of main character. Media ate it up, played along, agreed he was the story. Reality didn't jibe with the story. Now the narrative is, why isn't reality what we said it was? Tomorrow the story will be, here's what Stephen A. and Pat McAfee think about the story. that's already unfolding. And oh, by the way, throw President Trump in there too, because he posted about it. Eventually, the story will pivot to, can Shador silence the haters and live up to the original story? We have been searching for a new Tim Tebow and finally found one. It gets to play out similarly as part of not only the football media industrial complex, but also the culture wars. It's like watching someone reboot a beloved TV show from your childhood. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's more, to me, it's more Johnny Manziel than Tim Tebow. With the passion behind why you're doing, I mean, look, there are media members that are mentioning the name because you'll get clicks and they'll get coverage. I do think the media covers the media way too much. I think Kuiper was embarrassed. That's why he had the reaction that he did. But everyone got this wrong. I don't know of anyone who said fifth round pick for Shador. I don't know the lowest you guys have seen Shador prior to the draft on the overall board, just best player available. I think the lowest for me was like 35. I think Dane Brugler had him low. That's the lowest I saw. So it's not like it was just Kuiper missed. And I mean, it's hard to miss on the number one overall pick, like where that's going to be. And that's where Kuiper had him. It's crazy how everyone's fixated on one player. And honestly, the entire draft was zeroed around four players. The entire time, we were talking four players and four teams. And that's also unusual, but the ratings were there, so that's what we get. We get the cycle of more pop culture magazine than what's taking place on the field. But, I mean, even so, it's not like Schefter or Rappaport came out with any reports during this process about how Shador was so awful in interviews. That would get out if it was that bad. So I don't think it was awful, but it wasn't good. That's clear. It's obvious that it wasn't good. But I mean, a team did draft him. I still don't know why the Browns circled back and drafted him after taking the quarterback where they did. Gabriel was rated as like a fifth, or the agent for Gabriel said we were just praying that he would be drafted in the fifth or sixth round. Browns took him in the third. I mean, that's how they viewed Shador. The whole thing's crazy in the storyline. Meanwhile, I mean, I don't know Cam Ward's father's name. Like, again, it's the opposite of what was fueling the eyeballs and the clicks. And I mean, again, I've been talking Shador this week a lot. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it is fascinating how we cover it versus what we don't.
It may die down a little bit now, Hutton, because we're past the draft, but once rookie minicamp starts, what's going to be on the A block of every single debate show?
Well, there's going to be Shador Sanders.
Well, hey, Bronny James in the summer league. Schedule release is coming out, and then at the schedule release, that's when they'll have Shador back, and you'll have all these different things, and like he's battling for the starting job now in Cleveland. I mean, it'll continue, and who knows what Deion will say? You know, they will continue to fuel that.
Well, I mean, if you look at this, because I think there have been, three or four polarizing individuals within the last, two decades. I think Ryan Leaf may be on the edge of that. He was a polarizing figure when he came out. It was between he and Peyton Manning. You move further on. You look at Johnny Manziel. You look at Tim Tebow, and now it's Shador Sanders. If you look at all these individuals, the draft became about them for whatever reason. Tebow, because of the more so of the him being a leader in the religious aspect. You look at Johnny Manziel, the partying, the dollar signs, this and that. He falls, and then you look at Shador Sanders, and it's sort of the same thing, but with those two, you didn't have as much parental interaction that you had in this case. Now, we can go back to the Mannings, but I'm not going to even take it there because we know how all that went. But I just think in those three or four stories, the NFL latched on to what would garner more eyes to the TV. And Ryan Leaf and that whole Peyton Manning thing did, obviously the Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, and now Shador Sanders. So you've had at least three guys within the last two decades that have basically taken over the draft.
But I totally agree with you. The weird thing, though, Mace, is the storyline that would have crushed ratings is that he sucks in interviews. And it didn't get out until the day before the draft. Through an anonymous source. That's what's so odd to me. Because, I mean, think about this. We know where it ended the day before the draft. Mm-hmm. Go back to the East-West game, the Shrine Bowl. The NFL put out a memo that if you're attending these all-star games, that you need to practice during the week. Well, Shador didn't practice. And there was that headline that, oddly, and again, I don't buy this, that the Titans, the Giants, and the Browns asked him not to practice that week. What? But then come to find out he already decided a week before that he wasn't going to practice or work out on that Saturday. Again, there were some things there. You know, the Titans end up not even wanting to work him out privately. That's the whole thing's weird. And you mentioned Tebow and Johnny Manziel and Johnny Football. I agree, but those dudes are Heisman winners.
Yeah,
like there's obvious award-winning talent there.
But a circus still followed the each one.
But there was a lot of question of would the skills translate, yeah. Right? That to me is also
right.
Unique and very unique type of college players, right? Manziel and Tebow weren't your classic
traditional
pro style quarterback. They had very unique traits, right?
Like
Shador. I think Shador had some of that.
Mm-hmm. I thought we would hear more from Deion too. I we didn't really. I mean, we heard some, but not a ton. That's the other thing. It wasn't like he was dictating this publicly. I just think
he felt like he was early on because he gave those podcasts interviews where he would say, "We're going to pull
November.
An Eli. We're going to pull an Eli." Right. So that was in the middle of the football season. But through this process, he has been pretty quiet. I feel like
there's a way to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that before. They could obviously pull that if they want to, but they overplayed their hand and totally overvalued whatever they thought was going to happen. They didn't have an agent representing them during the draft. I mean, again, it's to each his own there. I mean, neither did Lamar Jackson. But, you know, again, we're talking about a first-round pick compared to a fifth. That's the thing. He's better than a fifth-round pick. I think we all agree there. That's what's so damning in this situation is that he just kept falling. I mean, it's the NFL spoke there, and there's always a dumb owner or general manager that overdrafts the quarterback. The Browns did in the third round with Dylan Gabriel, and they still passed on Shador with everybody talking about him.
Now, going to another topic here, still football, yeah. Hutt. We had a conversation briefly yesterday about the whole Quinn Ewers situation and him, you know, coming out and whatever, you know, information they gave them, you know, it must not been correct or they just didn't care, because if I knew coming out that I was going to be a fifth, sixth round draft pick and I had another year of college to up my stock, I tend to go back, especially now with NIL. You look at the young lady, Olivia Miles, I believe that's her name, out of Notre Dame. She chose to go back, and she would have been a high pick, but she chose because she was getting more money NIL in college than she would have, you know, entering into the WNBA. Do you think we'll start to see a trend now where these young men and women are starting to stay back another year, because not only am I projected to be drafted low, but the money here in college is still more than I wouldn't have got in my rookie contract?
Yeah, I think that's what Cam Ward did, you know, with his grade last year when he dipped his toe in the waters and then went to Miami and made more. And again, he made the right call. He went from a third or fourth round projection to a number one overall pick. He did a great job. It's an amazing story. I think with Quinn Ewers, Mace, it is about the injury history with him. That dude has taken a lot of hits already, and he's been banged up a lot at Texas. And I think that was a strategy to, we could be drafted versus another big injury. He's probably undrafted and has no chance of going to a team with a chance to compete. Think about some of the injuries he's had, the abdominal injury he had last year. And prior to that, other issues with the shoulder, the ankle, and injuries that kept him out of games where he tried to stay in. But I think that's more, I think it's more medical that we don't know with him, because otherwise, I mean, he goes and makes a lot of money. Quinn Ewers makes a lot of money in the transfer portal, a ton. And I mean, I think he's up there with where we would put, you know, the top paid quarterbacks right now. I mean, look what Duke's paying.
And I believe the,
I'm with you, but I think this is a circumstance that's worse than just NIL.
I believe the report was at his draft slot, Quinn Ewers could make $4.3 million over 4 years if he had entered the portal.
That's if he stays in the league for 4 years.
Yeah. Correct.
Right?
If he had entered the portal and stayed college for another year, he's probably making upwards of $4 million for that one season.
Yeah, I mean, he's making the only thing he didn't obtain by being drafted in the seventh is being an unrestricted free agent and deciding where he wanted to go to compete.
Yeah.
Like, he's virtually making the same amount of money, and the signing bonus could be more as an unrestricted free agent now, as an undrafted free agent, excuse me, because you can compete now in that financial world there. You pay them and bonus them whatever you want. So there's a cap there, but it's much higher. Point being, I just think another bad injury, and he's going to be flagged for medical, and that's clearly why he dropped. Because what we had, how many quarterbacks total drafted? I know
there were 13, and he was 13th out of 13.
Been healthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's I think it's a medical flag. I do. And I think it was a history of things that they probably felt like another hit, and he's done. Like, retired.
Okay, so Hutt, I'm going to hit you one more time because I'm asking everybody, because we're going to see it through to the end. Now that now that the book is closed, right? Because we know what the Titans' answer is.
Yes, I'd take the trade, Willie.
You would take the trade. Okay, you would have taken the picks.
Yeah, I heard Kaharsky this morning say the trade started with what it was you flip the first round picks,
right?
You get next year's first round. You get a second round pick this year and next year. That's where it started.
It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer to me. But
I take the trade.
Okay, I mean,
they
trade.
They potentially turn down the number one overall pick in a trade for next year. But we don't know that. But, I mean, the Giants drafted sixth. And prior to that, they drafted, what, third? They had the third and sixth overall pick the last 2 years. The rookie quarterbacks are going to take their lumps, especially – with a roster like that. So yeah, I would have taken the trade.
The Giants first round picks by number. Abdul Carter was third overall. Malik Nabers was sixth overall.
There you go.
Back in 2022, Kayvon Thibodeau was fifth overall. So they've had a top six pick in three of the past 4 years.
And their quarterbacks this year are Jackson Dart, Jameis Winston, and Russell Wilson. That's they're not likely to win a lot. That has to be considered if you're the Titans. But it sounded to me their answer was so adamant that they didn't even play the poker game, right? They were they shut the phones down. They are willingly telling you that. I'm just – that really concerns me.
Joe Shane, the GM in New York, said in his presser after they drafted Abdul Carter, said that the Titans just – you have to have two to tango, and the Titans weren't going to negotiate. This was – like the Titans admitted it was 3 weeks prior to the draft when they decided that they weren't going to trade the pick, and that was around the time I think they canceled the deal with Shadur.
Now what everybody says, and D Mace is in this boat. He says if Cam Ward works out, everything will be okay. But what's the percentage chance that history would tell you that Cam Ward is going to be more valuable than that package of picks? I think What would the odds makers have on that probability if you did a prop bet for 5 years or something to reevaluate that? I just think the value is just it's too good to pass up.
I agree. I mean, look, I just look at the roster and look at the rebuild and what they're doing, and I take it based on the future value of the picks. I mean, again, you can maneuver and get your quarterback, but you're not going to do anything unless you have that quarterback. What the Titans have told us, Willie, is he's a very good quarterback that they believe, that not just they believe, they are convinced that he is going to be great. That's the bar. Like, I think we have to set that standard based on what they have said. They were convinced 3 weeks prior to the draft and then told the media and the fans, we're not open to negotiating this pick. We're going to stick and pick. I mean, that to me is we're Super Bowl bound with this guy. And
I'm concerned what kind of expectation level. No, I think they look in a roundabout way. That's kind of what they're saying. Let's take another first overall pick, right? Jadeveon Clowney, right? He, yeah, even beyond Cam Ward, way beyond, he was the hands down number one guy. Absolute. If there was a can't miss first overall pick, it was probably him, right? And he hasn't been a bad NFL player. He's been in the league for a long time. He's had some good years, some not so good years. But it's still as much of the expectation level was on him. He's been a little bit underwhelming, right? But my point is that
yes,
even if you were the first pick in the draft, you cannot know that a guy is going to turn into – there's no such thing as a can't miss. There's no such thing of knowing that you've got your franchise quarterback. You can't know.
No, you can't. Mace, chime in if you agree here, because you're on the – it sounds like you're on the Ward side based on what mm-hmm. Willie's saying. Here's where I come down on. I understand why they stayed. I would have taken the trade. Cam Ward comes across as an alpha dog. Like he is. I mean, he's leading yes. workouts on the transfer the first week he's there in Miami after he decides to stay in college. When he gets there, he's leading the players-led workouts. I love that. Like, okay, instead of Clowney, let's compare him to Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, to me, is more beta than alpha. Like how he comes across. And there's no doubt Cam Ward's going to enter that locker room for the Titans and be a leader. Like it starts with the mentality. So if you're sitting in the room and you're commanding the room, you get that. I mean, commanding the room with Borgonzi and Brinker and Callahan, I think that comes across as there's one guy leading that interview and it's Cam Ward. That's my sense. And so I get why they're convinced based on the guy. I love everything I've heard from him. Love it. I'm just basing on the player, and I think he's going to be very good, but not great. And I have to, I mean, I'm not going to base that off of one press conference after the Titans pick him. I'm basing it off of what I've believed the entire process. So, but comparing it to Trevor Lawrence, who's hands down the number one overall pick, who's been very good, but not great, I take the trade. I do.
Well, I mean, listen, if you feel that he's the guy and you feel he can lead your franchise, he can be a franchise quarterback, then this league is so predicated on having that guy underneath center.
Yeah,
and you can't even taking the chance that you did this or this draft at bypassing those picks. If you feel you can get them, you got to get them. Because if you don't, there may not be another guy. I know people are looking at next year's draft and they're throwing out Manning and all, but who knows?
Manning's going to stay in school.
Yeah, who knows? Like, then you're going to be stuck in this rut again, and you may not get the number one pick. You just may land in a space where you're winning 7-8 games with a veteran quarterback who's aging, and you would never be in a position to get that guy once again.
I totally agree with you. What we mm-hmm. don't know is what made this decision, I think. What we don't know is, and look, I think this is more about Titans entertainment than football. You have to factor in the stadium. You must. The stadium and the patience of the owner. Those two things are massive, massive decision-making things. Just on top of football. You look at the changes they've made recently and compare it to where they're headed. It's more like you got the WWE is sports entertainers. They're not wrestlers. They're sports entertainers. This is going to be the entertainment show across the river. I just open up, 365, 24/7. And Cam Ward's the guy that they're choosing to lead that charge. And they went quarterback number one overall. And they've got the guy that's, going to set the tone. He's a tone setter, no doubt. But is he a Super Bowl winning quarterback? They want to bring a lot to the stadium, and one of the things is going to be a Super Bowl title. They're telling us that by what they're saying behind that table whenever they're at the press conference. I can't take it anywhere other than that based on what they turned down. We don't know other offers. They did say they had multiple offers. They had said that prior to the draft. So we don't know what else was there. We just know what the third overall team offered because Joe Shane confirmed it.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick as he does every Wednesday. Hutton, great stuff, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, always great, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Always a pleasure. Jonathan Hutton on the program. 615-737-1025. And the reason why Jonathan Hutton is one of the best in the business is something he said there flows perfectly into what I wanted to talk about next anyway. I did not set up Jonathan Hutton for that. He did that all by himself. But I think it's a great launching point for what I wanted to bring up next. 615-737-1025. Come catch us at Ascent Buildings, 214 Fountainhead Road in Portland. They are interviewing and hiring on the spot. Welders, fitters, machine operators, material handlers. If you are looking, this is the place to find it. Again, 214 Fountainhead Road in Portland. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063. The game.
We did a really poor job of acknowledging a guy like Abdul Carter because of a quarterback. And we did a really bad job of acknowledging the number one pick, Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Because of the trade that happened with Travis Hunter at number two. And then the fact that Shedeur then didn't get picked, that somehow the number one overall pick became like an afterthought. I called us out that night on the air like, dude went number one, man. And it's the story we love. He was a zero-star recruit, transferred from Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami, and goes number one without any clue. I mean, any uncertainty. That was their guy. Supposedly the Giants came with a king's ransom, and Tennessee was like, nope, can't help you. That should be celebrated.
Yes.
Let's celebrate Cam Ward.
Cam Ward. I just want to keep saying his name because no one said it for 3 days.
That was Scott Van Pelt on his podcast talking about Cam Ward and how we really haven't been paying attention to Cam Ward. And by we, I mean the national NFL media. Of course, we here in Nashville have been paying plenty of attention to Cam Ward. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. So Jonathan Hutton set me up perfectly. Thank you, Hutton, for what I wanted to talk about next. He was talking about the entertainment product for the Tennessee Titans. As soon as Cam Ward was drafted by the Tennessee Titans, The Ringer posted this story written by Danny Heifetz. Can Cam Ward finally make the Titans exciting? And there were some descriptions of the Titans in here that made me laugh out loud. Danny Heifetz, for example, compared the Titans to, quote, the NFL's equivalent of elevator music, relaxing background noise that's neither offensive nor memorable. He also said, quote, Tennessee has basically embodied Brad Pitt's instructions to Matt Damon in Ocean's 11. Be specific, but not memorable. Be funny, but don't make him laugh. He's got to like you, then forget you the moment you've left his side. And look, we here in Tennessee, we talk a lot about why aren't people outside of Nashville talking about the Tennessee Titans? Well, they haven't been good enough consistently for people outside of Nashville to pay attention. But the question is, can Cam Ward change that? Here are some other parts of Danny Heifetz's story. Quote, it starts with, he's talking about the University of Tennessee. He mentions that it's the more popular football team in the state. Culturally, the Volunteers are in Tennessee's blood. The Titans are merely in the water. The Volunteers were beating the Titans in TV ratings a decade ago. And while things have evened out a bit since then, that's likely just due to the NFL's rising tide. The Titans' ratings last season were an all-time low for the team. They claimed the drop was due to a change in the methodology of measurement, but they were last in the NFL, and also, they just haven't been good. Tennessee drafted quarterback Will Levis in the second round just 2 years ago, and since then, he spent his time on the field turning interceptions and fumbles into performance art. You'd think Levis's quarterbacking would be must-see television, like rubbernecking at a car accident on the highway. But since Levis took over as the team's quarterback, Titans TV ratings have fallen 33%. The Levis era was embodied last September when cameras caught Titans head coach Brian Callahan asking Levis, "What the F are you doing?" The Titans went 5-16 in Levis's starts across the past two seasons, and the team was dismal enough last year that they benched the quarterback in favor of Mason Rudolph and finished the campaign with a 3-14 record and the first pick in the draft. So I'm curious. Can Cam Ward finally make the Titans exciting? Because he appears to be an incredibly exciting football player.
But first of all, are we acting like Derrick Henry played like 25 years ago or something? Like, that was pretty exciting. Like,
yeah. That is
Henry,
fair.
That wasn't that long ago. So it's not like this is a fair franchise point.
CJ2K. It wasn't it exciting to go watch him play, and people talked about him. I just think
the ringer, I give them credit. They're very creative. That's a classic ringer.
It's another way. Yeah. It's another angle. You tell a story, sort of about the team.
Yeah.
And it's a good read. May I add? But
I do want to interject, because before that comparison to the Ocean's 11 quote, it says, quote, aside from some epic Derrick Henry seasons, some legendary indie coaching performances from Mike Vrabel and the year Steve McNair split the MVP award with Peyton Manning, Tennessee has basically embodied Brad Pitt's instructions to Matt Damon in Ocean's 11.
Well, that's from the outside. I don't believe. I would like to see more research and proof about Tennessee Volunteers ratings versus Titans ratings, because I don't buy that. I think everybody in Middle Tennessee in our area watches the Titans.
Listen, it's hard in any market, any major market, when you're competing with a major university that has history in football or basketball.
Sure. But a lot of Tennessee's games are on SEC Network.
So
they're not all on ABC. Every single Titans game is on network television locally. I'd like to see the numbers behind theory.
But I think there's more diehard college football fans than there are diehard like.
But Tennessee
fans.
Went through a down period too during some of that time.
But people are still going to watch.
Of course,
the team
are.
Play regardless of you know what they're doing. I think NFL fans are a little bit more sort of fickle when it comes to wins and losses, as opposed to a college team that has been on the top for a long time or been on the top period, and then they go through their phase of losing. I think the fan base still show up. They're angry, but they still show up. I think in football, they'll check out. After a while, they'll check out.
Well, I think this is the point that I want to discuss. From the article, quote, one of the reasons Ward is such a clear pick for Tennessee is his calmness, an incredible contrast to Levis's impulsiveness. But Ward's playmaking pizzazz also offers Tennessee something that only Henry, and you can quibble about it being only Henry, but the article says, Ward's playmaking pizzazz also offers Tennessee something that only Henry has given the team in the past 20 years, excitement.
AJ Brown gave him excitement.
Yeah.
CJ2K gave him excitement. I mean, you have guys that have given them a sense of, you know, I got to watch the Titans because I got to see this player play. But because, again, look at – because I think this would be more of the question. Look at all of the franchises. What do you call them?
Expansion franchises.
Look at all the expansion franchises within the last – since 1997, because that's when they really
–
Baltimore, Carolina, the Titans, who else?
Jacksonville.
St. Louis, but they kind of moved. It was a back and forth thing with them. Their fan bases, they don't have this entrenched fan base.
Generational
fan bases. So it's like, it's not that people don't care about them. It's just that their fan bases are not entrenched. If you're just a good team, like making it to the playoffs every year, you're still going to fly under the radar unless you win a Super Bowl or go to their Super Bowl, i.e. the Tennessee Titans or i.e. the Carolina Panthers. Anytime before the Super Bowl or after the Super Bowl, the Panthers have been pretty much irrelevant. Jacksonville has been pretty much irrelevant outside of their seasons that they had. And the Titans have been the same. We've all had our good seasons in the midst, but when you are one of these franchises, it's harder for people to hold on to you if you're not consistently competing for championships.
I think the point that the article is trying to make, and you're right, Willie, I'm a big fan of The Ringer. I think they do some really impressive work.
Yes,
I agree. They also don't take themselves too seriously. They write in a conversational style. The subhead for this story is the Titans have long been the NFL's version of elevator music, but with their new number one pick, can they vault into a new league stratosphere? Is Cam Ward...
I think that's an outside perspective, right? Mm-hmm. That's from a national perspective.
From a national perspective. Do you think that Cam Ward and what we expect Cam Ward to be will bring in more of that national attention?
I think it's hypothetical. I think it's possible. I'll use an example. On the highlight reel, when they announced Cam Ward's the first pick, there's a play that he makes where he extends the play, bounces, you know, holding off a rusher, and then throws. He's kind of falling down, and he throws a two-hand chest pass to the running back who makes a big play. It looked very similar to the play that Will Levis coughed up the ball against the Jets, right? A week after the whole
don't compare Bears, him to Will Levis,
after the Bears debacle, right? Yes. He had the next week against the Jets, like, well, they're looking good. Remember, they were razor sharp at the beginning of that Jets game. Whoo, it looks like he's learned his lessons. And then, it looks very similar. So you're a hero if you make the exciting play where it's creative, and you. But there's this fine line between that and it's a rookie mistake. Oh, my gosh, he's got to learn the hard way. So it's all theoretical excitement, but winning is exciting than anything else.
I do agree with, you know, the premise of the article. He can, you know, make this team. He can't put this team in a position where they're talked about more than they have been.
Yes.
Because if you have that quarterback and that quarterback is doing well, they can't help but talk about you. So from that aspect, yes, he can. I don't know how much excitement. Are you talking about local excitement or are you talking about that? Because even when we went to the Super Bowl, there wasn't a national excitement about us.
Are you talking about local? I don't think he's talking local. My guess, and he's shaping things.
But
like
there'll never be a national
audience
excitement.
Versus the volunteer. I think that shows a little bit of out of touch.
When I say local, I mean Tennessee.
Like yes. Locally, he's going to have all of our attention. We know that. But I would hearken it to, like, if you're a covering the league person, what's going to grab your attention? It's more exciting teams to watch, right? If you got 10 football games on like you do on Sunday, are you going to gravitate towards the Titans? Probably not, unless you got something exciting. And Derrick Henry might be that guy that moved the needle, and maybe Cam Ward potentially could be. I think that's where that guy's coming from.
615-737-1025. Can Cam Ward finally make the Titans exciting to a national audience? Because we, of course, know that all of you will be watching Cam Ward very, very closely. 615-737-1025. We are live out at Ascent Buildings, 214 Fountainhead Road in Portland. There is a job fair today until 3 p.m. coming out. If you are looking for work, welders, fitters, machine operators, material handlers, this is the place to be if you are looking for work. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking an article in The Ringer written by Danny Heifetz. Can Cam Ward finally make the Titans exciting? The lead graph in this story. Quote, the Tennessee Titans selected Cam Ward with the first pick in the 2025 NFL Draft Thursday night, completing his journey from high school quarterback with one Division I scholarship offer to this year's top NFL selection. But now Ward, the all-time leader in D1 touchdown passes, faces an even more difficult road ahead, one where he'll attempt to make the Tennessee Titans fun.
He's the all-time leader in touchdown passes.
In D1,
in
yep.
D1?
He is.
Gosh. That's a hell of a feat.
Played a lot of games.
He did.
Yeah, 4 years of college. Well, I guess.
Well, you know, that's interesting because there are quarterbacks that played 5 full years because
that's what
of the
I'm
COVID
saying.
Stuff. So he only had 4 years as a starter, right?
Yeah. So he did all that in 4 years. Hell of a resume. But, again, listen. A part of this, you know, there's several different sort of facets reasons why you draft Cam Ward. And some are really important, and then some are just byproducts of him being the number one pick and having success and what you know that success will bring. It is having a quarterback, and I talked about this when they decided to, you know, when they gave the okay for the stadium. I said, they need to find them a quarterback before they move in that stadium. They need to have them a quarterback. Young quarterback, need to have somebody so when they move into that stadium, people are excited about going in the stadium, more outside of just it being a new stadium. And they feel, and I know a part of it, it probably wasn't a big part, so I'm not going to sit here and say it was, but I'm sure a part of it was he can be, what better player would you want to have based upon his background, his story, everything else? Why wouldn't you want to have a guy like that as your face entering into a new stadium and if he's playing exciting football. That's what you want. And I'm sure that was a part, not a big part, but I'm sure that was a part of it. We need to have a quarterback before we move into that stadium.
One texter says, the Titans have become the Browns South. Terrible ownership, making bad decisions, and largely irrelevant. I didn't watch half the games last year because it was awful, and there are so many people that moved here that fewer people in Tennessee are likely watching Titans as the population grows because they are watching their old home team. Let's hope Cam Ward makes a difference.
I do think in this day and age, there's that ability a lot easier than it was 20 or 30 years ago, for sure. If you want to continue to follow your team,
yeah,
you can watch them every Sunday. If you just pay a little extra, you can do that. That I buy that. So you're trying to pull in, but you still have scores and scores of fans here. You got plenty of fans. It's just keeping them engaged. Are they gonna? That's a whole nother aspect, is the business part, selling tickets and the PSLs. And what they're asking, which is astronomical, that's going to be a feat. And having a guy that you can market at quarterback would be smart, right? But that's not why you should pick. You shouldn't pick based on that.
Of course not.
I don't think.
No. Again,
it works out.
With a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
You know, what the potential of his production can mean.
If you're sitting in a business, if I'm selling suites, I'm selling PSLs, and I hear this is just me, the person trying to keep my job, do well at my job, get paid for selling what I need to sell. And somebody says, hey, we could have Cam Ward, or we can have picks three. It'll be a defensive end, plus we'll have the 34th pick. And then next year, we'll have the Giants' first and second round pick. That doesn't sound as sexy as we're going to have the quarterback.
Exactly.
I mean, what's going to help me sell in the next year? Mm-hmm. It's not even a contest, right?
No, it's not.
But that's not what should make your decision for you.
It shouldn't be driving the decision. It should be in the trunk somewhere. You know, just a part of, you know, what the things you sort of jot down on why you draft this guy in the first round. Yes, he can do this, he can do that, he can do this for the franchise, but then ultimately we're opening up a new stadium. We need our fan base excited about this team, because that excitement, and if it hits, it allows you, not just as a coach, but I think as an organization, it builds up sort of that if things go bad, that rainy day fund, so to speak, just like with us in 99, when we finally moved into that stadium, because we went to the Super Bowl, it built up those rainy day funds. You know, when Jeff was going 8-8 and stuff was going on, people still hung in. Why? Because this was a team that was not too long ago in the Super Bowl. So we can do it again. That's what holds the fan base. So if Cam brings that, that's what you want as an organization, but that's not why you are solely drafting him.
What was the thing that got the Titans on the most highlight reels, and I use highlight reels loosely? What was the major talking point that if you turned on First Take or you turned on SportsCenter – early in the season specifically, if they were talking about the Titans, they were talking about what?
The flops of Will
Correct.
Levis.
Correct.
The follies.
They were talking about, can you believe this ridiculous turnover that Will Levis had? And then the following week, they were like, hey, remember last week? You'll never believe what he did this week. That's what got the Titans the most attention during the season, was Will Levis's turnovers, which the writer of this article referred to as performance art, almost. So that's the point, is that Cam Ward appears to be the type of prospect who can get the Titans on these shows for dazzling displays of skill, not for, can you believe this quarterback made this ridiculously stupid turnover and his coach is MFing him on national television? That's a big part of it, too. Like, Titans fans don't want to be on national television because their quarterback is a laughingstock. They want their quarterback to be on SportsCenter Top 10 because he's making dazzling plays. And then in the article, it says, quote, Tennessee is going to need Ward to create some magic early, and he's certainly capable of doing that. In fact, he's done so throughout his underdog-like career. So I think that's an important aspect of it, too, because we've had, for as long as I've lived here, I've been here for 10 years now, it was the same thing with the Predators when playing well. They're talking about us enough. The Predators are a good team. They're making big playoff runs. They're the best team in the league. They're not talking about us enough. Like that, I mean, and Nashville alone in that. There are other fan bases in other cities that are like that. But I do think there is a yearning for Titans fans that we want to be talked about. We want people to pay attention to us. And Cam Ward, I think for a lot of Titans fans, is someone who can finally make that happen for the first time since Derrick Henry left.
Well, that's what they're hoping. And it's not there's a difference between being talked about because of your running back and or being talked about because of your quarterback. You know, Derrick Henry brought a lot of exposure to this team, to this franchise, because, frankly, he was the best runner in the National Football League. And he still may be the best runner in National Football League. But that dwarfs in comparison to if the Titans have that quarterback and that quarterback is doing some of those same things. There's no amount of money you can pay, or I don't think there are many draft picks you can give up, you know, to trade that in, to have my quarterback be the focal point and talked about in the manner of like a Derrick Henry because of his play. It's times 20 if the quarterback does it.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on this. But coming up next, as we were leaving the show yesterday, Willie said something that really got me thinking. And we're going to bring that to all of you. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. We are live out in Portland, 214 Fountainhead Road at Ascent Buildings. There is a job fair today through 3 p.m. So come on out. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.